You are listening to the eReal Estate Coach Podcast, featuring RealTrends top 500 broker, Jim Remley. On this show, we interview interesting people in the real estate industry to help agents, broker owners, and team leaders accelerate their performance.
Hey, I'm super, super excited. We've got an absolute all-star on the show today, Michael Hellickson, and he is founder, the owner of Club Wealth. You've heard about Club Wealth. It's an incredible coaching company. Coaches some of the biggest all-stars in the country. Incredible background here, and we are just thrilled and amazed to have him on our show. Welcome, Michael.
Well, I appreciate you having me, Jim. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. So let's give our audience just a little brief overview of your background. I mean, everybody likes to know who is Michael.
Well, you know, I like the idea that, you know, people really ought to know who they're hearing from, right? Because I mean, right. Frankly, there's way too much bad advice being given in this industry by people that have never really done anything. Yeah. And I've always been a big believer that if you want to climb to the top of Mount Everest, you need a guide who's actually been to the top of Mount Everest before. So by way of background, you know, I sold real estate since 1991. So about 32 years now that I've been in the industry. And for a long time, I was the number one agent on planet Earth. And, you know, when everybody else was, when number two and number three were doing combined half about what I was closing between 120 and 180 transactions every month.
Wow.
And I carried about 750 listings in active and pending status at any given time. So,
Wow. Incredible.
Yeah.
You've done
it.
So somebody that's been in the trenches, no one's been in the trenches as much as you've been in the trenches. I love it.
Yeah. We've done a few units. You know, I've listed over, I've been on over 10,000 listing appointments. I can't tell you, I don't know exactly how many homes I've listed off the top of my head, but a lot.
Wow.
And, you know, it's funny because, you know, there's so many people right now talking about shifting their focus from buyers to listings. And really, your focus should be what you're best at, right? And so if somebody's best at buyers, well, then they should keep working with buyers. And if they're best at working with sellers, well, they should keep working with sellers. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of money to be made out there right now. There's a ton of people getting out of the business, more than we've ever seen before.
Absolutely.
And a ton of opportunity. I mean, just a ton. I always tell people where there's chaos, there's opportunity. And there's chaos right now. It's great. You know, I think for our clients, it's a good thing. But I think that, you know, it'd probably be a good topic for today would be to talk about, you know, why is that and what can we do? But go ahead. I don't want to get you sidetracked.
Yeah. No. I think really what agents are craving right now is, hey, give me some ideas on lead generation strategies and you point me in the right direction of what I can be doing proactively to not be market driven, but be strategy driven. So what's your thoughts?
I love that you're saying that because, you know, being proactive is the key, right? I mean, it's the real problem is that too many agents are relying on their sphere of influence and hoping that business will come their way. And the reality is it just doesn't work that way. Yeah. If you want to make a lot of money selling real estate, and in fact, if you just want to be able to survive and make what you made this last year, if you want to be able to make that in 2024, well, you're going to have to diversify your lead flow. I talked to an agent here just the other day and, you know, they've been, in fact, it was this morning I had this conversation. You know, this person's been an agent for 35 years and I'm all sphere all the time. And that sounds great. You know, right up until the market shifts and people are a lot pickier about who they list with. Frankly, referral-based business has declined dramatically over the last 8 years. 8 years ago, 61% of the average agent's business came from their sphere of influence. And today that number is below 40%. Well, why is that? Because 92% of all buyers start their search online and fully 72% of those work with the first agent they come in contact with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you really got to ask yourself, is my sphere going to be enough? And you look at, you know, what happens in a recession? Nobody calls their buddy up and says, hey, Jim, I'm about to lose my house to foreclosure. Do you have a real estate agent you can refer me to? Said right. No one ever. I mean, they right. just don't say that, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm a real proponent of, and don't get me wrong, I love sphere of influence. And there's a lot that can be done with your sphere of influence. And you can make a lot of money with your sphere of influence, but you need to be diversified because if you're all sphere all the time, you're going to struggle in markets like we're coming into now. And it's funny because, you know, that person that I was talking to this morning, you know, they were really frustrated with me because, you know, they felt that I should be, you know, preaching all sphere all the time.
Sure.
And yet here they are 35 years in only working by referral. And guess what? Their production is down 33% year over year. And that's horrible, right? Yeah. There's no reason for that to have to be the case.
Sure.
And so the diversified lead flow is really important. So you want to have sphere of influence business, but it should make up a little less than 25% of your overall business. And then the other 75% should be coming from other lead sources. Now, I'm not saying that you should go out and buy Zillow and Realtor.com. I'm not even advocating for those. There was a time that I did. There was a time that their ROI and the cash conversion cycle on those aligned well enough that those were good lead sources and they made sense for a solo agent or a team. Unfortunately, right now in most markets, the numbers just aren't there for those two lead sources. Yeah. So there's a lot better ways to get business. And so let's break it up by tier, right? So if you look at, you know, where people are at in the industry, what they should buy for leads or what they should do for lead generation is going to change based on where they're at in the business. So tier one is 0 to 25 transactions per year. Tier two is 25 to 75. Tier three is 75 to 150. Tier four is 150 to 250. Tier five is 250 to 500. Tier six is 500 to 1,000. And tier seven is 1,000 units per year and more. And I hear this all the time. Oh, Michael, nobody's doing 1,000 units a year or more. And first of all, I was, you know, the first one that I'm aware of that ever broke the 1,000 transaction barrier. And for a long time, I was the only one doing 1,000 transactions a year that I'm aware of. That being said, it's kind of like Roger Bannister with the 4-minute mile.
Yeah. Love it.
Remember that, right? Yeah. They said your heart would explode if you broke the 4-minute mile. The year after he did it and proved everybody that could be done, what happened?
Yeah, multiple people did it.
28 more people did it the following year. And while I'm happy to say that that same dynamic has happened here, you know, I was the first one to do it, but guess what? Last year, there were literally 38 different agents or teams that broke the 1,000 transactions in 1 year mark.
Wow.
And what's really crazy is that teams right now, essentially the top 10% of teams have been involved in 51% of every real estate transaction closed in 2022. That was the 22 number. I don't know what the 23 number is yet.
Not done.
But here's where I think it's going. Yeah. And this is what's crazy. I think we're going to get to a point where 75% of all the transactions in the country are controlled by the top 100 teams. And I think that we're going to have over 100 teams doing over 1,000 transactions a year. Oh, I think that's where we're headed.
Interesting. Yeah.
Why
do you think that is? Is it because the teams are more efficient and more driven?
There's a million reasons. They're more efficient. There's accountability. There's training. There's oversight. There's support. There's leads. There's lead follow-up systems. There's lead conversion systems. There's everything. I mean, everything you can imagine. They have AI. They get better buying power. There's a million reasons why teams are a lot more effective than a single solo agent. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not to say that you can't succeed as a solo agent. It's just a lot harder. And it's frankly, it's not as fun. That being said, going back to lead generation. So if I look at tier one, right, if I'm in tier one, I have more time than money. So what do I do with that? Right. That means like, I'm not going to go out and buy a bunch of high-end lead sources. Instead, I'm going to do things that don't cost me any money, that just cost my time. Things like for sale by owners, expired listings, cancels, withdrawals, open houses. There's a million referrals. There's a million different things that I can do when I'm in tier one that don't cost me money that will bring great return, but they are hard work.
Yeah.
And so I hear a lot of agents say, well, Michael, I don't want a cold call and I don't want to make expired calls and blah, blah, blah. Okay, I get that. So get out of tier one as fast as you can, because right now, while you're freaking broke, you don't have a lot of choice, right? You got to get out there and do stuff that's not going to cost you a lot of money. Oh, but I'm just going to get business from my sphere. Good luck if you're in your first 2 years of business, because if you were a waiter or a nurse or a doctor or a police officer or a fireman, whatever it was you were before, that's what they see you as still.
Mm-hmm.
And until you've been in it for a couple of years and you've shown lots of evidence of success on social media and so forth, they're not going to see you as a professional real estate agent.
Sure.
Now, that brings me to another point. Social media can be a great source of business. I had somebody today tell me, oh, Michael, I've got, you know, this new agent on my team, all my new agents, they're all doing social media. And one of them got 5 transactions in her first year through social media. Well, that's awesome. That's great. Yeah. I'm sure she's a lot more attractive than I am, because nobody wants to watch me on social media. I'm just throwing it out there. But at the end of the day, not everybody can count on making a bunch of money from social media. And in large part, social media is not super predictable for people that are new to the business. So if I'm tier one, I'm going to do social media, but I'm certainly not going to rely on it for my income, right? Yep. So I'm going to do all these other things. Now, a lot of people say, oh, well, I'm going to sign up for all the referral fee-based lead sources. Well, good luck, Cupcake, because I got news for you. They're not going to want to put you in their system until you're doing at least 35 transactions a year for most of them, like Ojo and Agent Machine and all the others. Generally speaking, they're not going to allow you to be in their system unless you're already doing over 35 transactions a year, sure, which means you're in tier two. And so now that brings us to tier two. By the way, tier one, let's call it what it is. It sucks. It's hard. Tier one is, man, I'm just trying to figure out how to pay my bills this month, right?
Yeah, you're
it's hard.
Grinding.
It is. It's a complete grind in tier one, right? Yep. Now I get into tier two. And I'll tell you this. The only thing that sucks worse than being in tier one is being in tier two. Right? Now, why is that? Uh-huh. Right. The reason why tier one sucks even worse than tier two is because tier two sucks even worse than tier one is because in tier two, not only am I working my tail off to get my own production rolling, but now I'm probably starting to try and grow a team, which means now, in addition to making calls every day, I've also got to recruit. And then when I find somebody, I've got to hire them. Then I've got to onboard them. Then I've got to train them. Then I got to hold them accountable. Then I got to provide them with support. Then I've got to provide them with leads. Then I've got to spend, it's just money, technology, you name it. And so I'm spending all this money and time on them. All the while, that means I've got less time and effort and energy to spend on my business, which means my production is going down. And oh, by the way, guess what? It takes them 6 to 12 months to be productive. And so I'm not making any money. In fact, I'm starting to wonder, should I just go back to tier one and just, be a solo agent?
Right.
And I'll say this, whether you're on a team or building a team, teams are the way to go, mm-hmm, right? So is building a team for everybody? No, not necessarily. But I will say this, if you'll persist, if you'll stick with it, if you'll just be disciplined and just keep moving forward no matter what, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And you start to see it in tier three. That's when you're doing 75 to 150 transactions a year. So in tier two, I can add some new lead sources because I got just enough money to do that, right? I can start adding some of the referral-based lead sources because I've got the production behind me to get them. I've got enough money to start buying things like leadslikecandy.com, which is a great low-cost lead source for buyer and seller leads. I'm not quite ready for a trigger listings yet, but it's on my radar. I'd like to do it as soon as I get into tier three, things like that. I'm starting to get into things like Google pay-per-click, Google local service ads. Those are things that you start to see more in tier two. And then they start to produce. And then all of a sudden my production comes up, I get into tier three, and now I can spend some real money getting some leads coming in so I can grow my business faster. And then by tier four, I'm making some good money for me. Mm-hmm. So that said, lead generation has got to be a major component of what people do. And they got to stop looking at it myopically and thinking that sphere of influence is going to win the day for them, because it just isn't. And I tell you, there's going to be a lot of people who are by referral only who are going to go broke this year. I can already tell you, there's a bunch that already have a ton.
Yeah.
At some point, you just knuckle down and get to work. Go ahead.
When you're looking at, the other types of, for sell-by owners, expired listings, as you said, cancel listings, all those other things. Would you say there's one category coming into 2024 that you think is better than others, or is it all equal? Just go after one thing.
I don't think they're all equal, mm-hmm, but I do think a lead is a lead is a lead. And every lead has different ROI and different cost or cash conversion cycle. ROI being I give a dollar, how many dollars do I get back? Cash conversion cycle being I give a dollar, how fast do I get my dollars back? And so I think everybody needs to really have a blended lead source blended lead flow. That's what we've seen work best. And really what that means is, if I want to make six figures in this business, let's just call it $250,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And I would go so far as to say even $100,000, you really need this. But for sure, if you want to make $250,000 a year, and really, if you're not making $250,000 a year in this business, you're kind of going broke. And I know that's, kind of hardcore for some people, but the reality is $250,000 isn't that much money. It's $250,000. It's really not that much. Everybody talks in terms of gross. I prefer to talk in terms of net, but for our purposes today, let's just even say 250 gross.
Yeah.
To even gross 250, you're going to need 10 to 15 lead sources. Mm-hmm. And if you want to gross, and I'll tell you, actually, let me back up. If you want to net $1 million, you're going to need 25 to 35 lead sources. That's just how the numbers shake out.
Sure.
I can tell you, my son, in his first year selling real estate, he's 21 years old now. He started at 19. In his first year, he listed 97 homes.
Wow.
pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Right now, he's, as far as we can tell, he's the number one listing agent in the country right now. And yeah, it's not bad. He broke the 100 homes mark a couple months ago for the year so far. Yeah, he's crushing it. Heck, he had 1 week. He took 16 listings in 1 week, 3 weeks ago.
Unbelievable.
And, I know, right? And he's 21. And by the way, ladies, if you're watching, he is single and ready to mingle. Mom and I are looking for daughter-in-law applications right now. Yeah, so he's a great kid. I'll be honest.
Does he have a team?
He's got a small team. I'm not counting his team's numbers, though. That's just his numbers.
That's his physical
numbers. Yeah, that's just him going on appointments. If you count his team, he's close to 200 listings for the year.
Let me ask you a question on team building, because you're obviously the expert on teams. So let's say I'm a solo agent. I'm saying, you know what? I want to follow Michael's path here. Step one for my team would be to hire an assistant.
Step one is decide if you should be the team leader or team member.
Okay.
That's step one, because the reality is, for some people, I mean, you could make $250,000 to $500,000 a year as a team member, no problem, right? If you're just focused, and the nice thing is, you don't have to worry about the money. You don't have to worry, you know, you don't have to do all the expenses. You don't have months where you lose money. You don't have to deal with all the staff and all the BS and the drama and the lead flow and just everything involved, right?
Right.
But really, a team leader becomes more of an administrator, man. They're really everybody's assistant, right?
Yeah.
And so, And so I'm not trying to say that everybody should be a team leader. In fact, quite the opposite. That said, let's assume for a minute that you've decided, hey, I want to be a team leader.
Sure.
Well, yes. First step one is, first, you got to lead by example, which means you got to get your production going, right? Like, you've got to do something worth following, right?
Yeah.
And so get out there, show some production, you know, and by the way, if you can't do 25 transactions a year on your own, you probably shouldn't build a team, right? So if you're not in at least tier two, there's probably no point in building the team, because why would I want to join your team when you're in tier one, when I can go join a tier three, four, five, six person's team, and I know they've got their systems dialed in, they've got lead flow, they've got everything I need to succeed, and they're not trying to reinvent the wheel. And like that, I can see what they have accomplished.
Right.
So that being said, I would say first, accomplish something. Second, what I want you to do is I want you to get out there, and I want you to, you know, you're going to get to a point where you've got so much business coming in, you're going to need help with it. So you're going to want to hire a full-time assistant, right? So you're going to take your transaction coordination work, bring it back in-house, hire your full-time assistant. They're going to spend a little bit of time doing that. And then most of their time, it's going to be doing everything else you need done. And so now, I'm, you know, probably right around that same time, I'm starting to hire buyer agents, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that assistant's going to free me up to be able to focus on my production. And even if you just work part-time, just 20 hours a week, you can get to $250,000 a year. But if you're going to build a team, you're going to want to spend 3 hours a day prospecting for things like, you know, for consumers, buyers and sellers. If you're, and then another hour is going to be spent on recruiting. So that's 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. That's 20 hours a week. It's really not that hard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that said, you're also going to need the leads, right? Let me give you guys the leads. So send a text. I guess there's like 2,000 different lead sources in real estate today.
Sure.
There's about 100, 110 that are pretty good. Now it's all about getting as many people on the team as fast as possible. And here's the mistake that most people make when they start building a team. This is, and I see this all over. And by the way, Club Wealth is completely brand agnostic, right? We work with people from all different companies at all different production levels. And we're not tied to any one company, but I will tell you this. One of the biggest mistakes people make is trying to personality profile their way into the perfect hire. It's not going to happen. I've hired thousands of people, literally. I've literally hired thousands of people. I was having this conversation with Chris Heller the other day. Do you know Chris?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Chris is a good guy. He used to be the CEO of Keller Williams. Now he's the president of Ojo. Or is he a CEO? I can't remember. He's president or CEO now. But anyway, super cool guy. One of the OGs, and we were having the same conversation, and we agreed that you don't know what you've got until they're there. You have no idea.
Yeah.
You just don't know. And so for starters, just hire everybody. If they got a pulse, they want to be on your team, and they're going to be a 1099 contractor as a real estate agent, bring them on board. Mm-hmm. And if they, in the first 2 weeks, I'll tell you this, we have about 50% turnover in the first 2 weeks. Great. That's part of our interview process. Not a big deal. Right.
Uh-huh.
And then of the remaining 50%, we lose about 50% of those in the next 90 days. And here's why. The first 2 weeks we find out they're not willing to put in the work. They're just lazy. They're not willing to do what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
The next 90 days, what we find out is they're not who we thought they were. They're not the right culture fit. They're just they're maybe not very nice to people. They're not nice to their colleagues, their coworkers, whatever. Like, they're just not the right fit for one reason or another. And sometimes it's that we're not the right fit. We just might expect too much or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And what that leaves us with is 25%. So let's say I want to build a team of 25 world-class agents. What's it going to take to get there? Mm-hmm. I got to hire 100 people. So how fast do you want to build? And by the way, a 25-person team should net you well in excess of $1 million a year, net. And so I just got to ask myself, how bad do I want to build that team? How, you know, and that's how fast you need to hire the first 100 people. And it sounds harder than it is, but man, when you do it.
Let me ask a bunch of questions about that specifically, because when you're hiring these folks in, are you saying to them, okay, as you're a 1099er, but you're under our team, and here's our expectation of what we expect you to do every day. So we expect you to come in and do this, maybe your perfect schedule, like you're talking about, and work that system. And if we don't work that system, then you're going to be bye-bye in 2 weeks. Is that?
Can't do that. Can't do that.
What do you do? How do you approach it?
Can't fire them for that. You can't. It's the, if you're going to dictate their schedule, then they can't be 1099. They have to be
W-2. Yeah.
Correct. And so what you do is you tie it to the leads. What you say is, look, you can stay. That's fine. But if you want to be, so we have three different types of lead. We have our A lead. Actually, we have four different types. We have A plus, A, B, C, and D leads. D leads are people that we just want to get rid of anyway. But, you know, you look at the A plus, A, B, and C. Those are the different lead types. And you have to qualify to get each of those lead types. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get A leads, well, by golly, you're showing up every day. You're on the daily huddle every day. You're making calls every day. You're aggressive. And if you want to get the A plus leads, not only are you aggressive, but you're closing at a very, very high level. Mm-hmm. And so you really have to understand that the only way that you can encourage the right lead indicators from your, the right behaviors from your agents, is to tie it to lead flow. You cannot tie it to employment.
So another question with that, yeah, with your, because you, at the beginning, you're talking about, if I'm just starting out tier two and I'm starting to build my team, I'm going to be hiring a buyer's agent first. When you're eventually progressing and you're starting to just recruit more aggressively, are these agents going to be buyer's agents and they can list, or strictly buyer's agents and all listing flow to the team leader? Or
I love that you're asking that question. That's a very, very common concern for a lot of team leaders, because the reality is, if they say, oh, you should specialize in one or the other, then it makes it more difficult to recruit. Yeah. But the opposite is also a problem, right? If I say, well, you can work with buyers or sellers on my team, well, great. Then you're not going to get the ROI on your lead flow, Mr. Team Leader, that you need to get, because guess what? You're going to have buyer agents handling listings, and you have listing agents handling buyers, and they're not the same person. Let me prove my point. This is where it gets really interesting. So first of all, let me ask you this, Jim. Who makes more money, a general practice doctor or a specialist?
Specialist, absolutely.
And yet, what do all agents want to be? Seems like they all want to be generalists, right?
Yep.
Here's why. That comes from scarcity. End of the day, that comes from scarcity. It's because they're concerned that if they don't, they're missing out on money, right?
Yep.
The reality is, nothing could be further from the truth. I wasn't the number one agent on planet Earth because I was trying to be all things to all people. I knew what I was good at, and I went and did it. I was personally listing, not counting my team and not counting REO, which was 50% of my business. I was personally listing 50 to 75 houses every single month.
Wow.
You don't get there by doing buyers and sellers at the same time. It's not possible, right?
No.
And so I specialized. I got really good. I became the very best at one small niche, and I just rode that hard, right? All right, so that's number one. Number two is Mr. and Mrs. Seller. Let's take John and Susie Smith, right? They're going to sell their house and then they're going to go buy a house. So as a seller, what do Mr. and Mrs. Smith need? They want a snarly pit bull with an attitude. They only care about three things. Who's going to get me the most amount of money in the least amount of time with the least amount of headache to me? That's all they care about. They don't care about anything else. They don't even need to like you. People always say, oh, they got to know, like, and trust you to do business. No, you don't. I got plenty of clients, coaching clients and sellers alike, that didn't like me. Mm-hmm. But guess what? They trust me because they know I'm the best person for the job. They know I'm going to get them the most amount of money in the least amount of time with the least amount of headache to them. So they don't need to like you. They need to trust you. That's it. All right. So let's take it a step further. That couple wants that snarly pit bull with an attitude. Who's going to go out and just maim and kill for me? Who's going to get me the very most they possibly can? Now they go to buy a house. Right. As a buyer, do they want that snarly pit bull with an attitude?
No,
absolutely not. In fact, they want the exact opposite. They want the golden retriever. They want the person that's going to take their time with them, that's never going to pressure them, that's going to educate them, guide them through the process, nurture them along for as long as it takes for them to find their dream home. And that's fantastic. And by the way, is it helpful if they like you as a buyer agent? Yes, right? You know, that relationship is very important in that part of the business. But it's not the same thing on the seller side. Even though you get the same couple, their needs have changed, right? Mm-hmm. And so having a specialist for both is very helpful. Now, that being said, here's how Austin does it, my son. So basically what he says is, okay, I'll tell you what. So you want to be able to work with both buyers and sellers. Fantastic. We'll let you do that here. So anybody that comes from your sphere of influence, they want to buy, they want to sell, great, you can work with them. All we require is you got to take a listing agent with you and you got to pay them 10% because they got to make sure that we set the right expectations on the listing appointment. Now, if you want to be a listing agent, like you want to be able to get our listing leads that we pay good money for, you want to get those, then you have to specialize in listing only. You have to agree not to work with buyers any further. And you have to spend all of your time, effort, and energy focused on sellers. And you got to be able to close at least 50% of the people that end up selling their house through an agent. You need to be able to close at least 50% of those on working with you. So long as you meet those criteria, then you can have our listing leads. So short answer is, yeah, they let them work with both buyers and sellers if it's the sphere of influence.
Got it. Interesting. So yeah. I could go on and on about teams. I'm going to have one more question about teams.
Yeah.
So a guy like you at your level, when you're listing, you know, 50, 60, 70 properties mm-hmm. a month, but even an agent that's doing 10 or 20, that would feel overwhelming mm-hmm. at 90% of agents. You yeah. come in and do the listing. You have somebody coming behind you as a listing assistant that does all the actual, you know, organizing and staging and all that other stuff that we have to walk through sellers through. Because you're not doing it. You're coming in and closing it and you're out back out the door, right?
Absolutely. And in fact, once I take a listing, I hand that off to my listing coordinator. I don't talk to the person again, except unless they need to be reclosed or it's time for me to hit them up for referrals. That's yeah. it. You know, at the end of the day, I'll be like the dentist, right? You know, if you think about when you go to your dentist, who do you really work with? You're really working with the hygienist, right? Yeah. You're not really working with the dentist. Now, what does the dentist do? He'll roll around once in a while. He'll come over to your chair and he'll be like, okay, let me just take a peek. You know, he put his little gloves on, his little glasses on. He gives a little tool out. And he's like, yeah, looks like we got an MU on 24 and we got a blah, blah, blah. And yeah, this is looking good. And there's a little watch spot over here. Okay. Hey, other than that, looks like good job. Keep brushing and flossing. And Susie's going to finish you up here. I'll see you next time you come in. Have a great day.
Right.
Off they go, right?
Right.
That's me as a listing agent, right?
Yeah.
When I pop in, it's for short bursts, right? And it's not, and I'm not doing anything really substantive with them. What I'm doing is I'm making sure that they feel good about the process. But every single Monday, my assistant is calling them up saying, you know, hey, Jim, as Michael mentioned when he was out on your appointment, we need to be getting 7 to 10 showings per week, or that's the market telling us that we're overpriced. We only had 2 showings this last week. Again, that's the market telling us we're overpriced. So what I need to know, Jim, is did you want to reduce the price by 5% now, or do you need to call with Michael first? And nobody wants to have that call with me. So guess what they do? Oh, well, let's just go ahead and reduce it by 5%. You really think that's what we need to do? Yeah, that's what we need to do. Okay, we'll reduce it by 5%. Fantastic. And I'm telling you, this is a skill that has been lost by a lot of agents here, because most agents most of our existing real estate agents today have never had to hit people up for a price reduction.
No, nope.
They've never had to worry about that because it's been easy, easy, easy to sell homes. Well, I got news for you. If you don't learn the skill of getting price reductions, you will be broke this next year. Promise.
Now, do you circle back and step back into the negotiation, or is that a separate person as well?
For
you?
Heck no. That's why your assistants are licensed.
Okay.
That's why you've really, really solid, really well, you know, trained, licensed assistants that handle that stuff for you. So when offers come in, they're doing all the negotiation. They're doing all my inspection negotiation for my buyer agents, everything. Like every negotiation that happens, they do it. Now, if I've got to be involved, will I get involved once in a while? Yeah, but I only really need to be involved maybe once every 40 transactions. It's really, here's the reality. Everybody wants to think, oh, but my clients, they just want me. And I know there's a lot of people watching this right now that are saying that to themselves. Hogwash. You're not that special. They don't just want you. What they want is the job freaking done. Mm-hmm. That's what they want. They don't care who does it. You know, it's funny, Jim, I always tell people, you know, in your 20s, you're always worried about, you know, what other people think of you. But 30s and 40s, you're like, yeah, I really don't care what other people think of me. By 50, you're like, nobody's thinking of me. Nobody cares. They're thinking of themselves. They're thinking of their problems, right?
Right.
And so let's just be real about where this is and just understand that we're not that special. And so we absolutely need to make sure that we're providing the ecosystem where they can get world-class service, get exactly what they want as a result, have great outcomes, and then be followed up with properly so they're sending referrals long-term.
Let's talk about your 3x3x3.
Oh, I love it. You know, the only thing that real estate agents suck worse at than lead generation is lead follow-up. I mean, it's true. You know, it's funny. I used to, when I'd go speak in different, so I do anywhere from 6 to 12 events a month in different parts of the US and Canada. And I used to, just for giggles, you know, I'd fly into a new city and I'd pick up the phone and the first 3 real estate signs that I saw, I'd call the agents. Guess how many calls I'd get back?
Almost none.
Almost none. Yeah. Almost none.
Yeah.
And if I did, it would be hours later. And it was just, I couldn't believe the laziness of agents. This industry is so lazy and entitled right now. It's no wonder there's lawsuits and people are coming after us for our commissions and they're trying to disrupt the industry and all this. I get it. I know why they're doing it, because they perceive us as being lazy. Why? Because most agents are. I mean, let's call it what it is. Most agents are freaking lazy. Are there some really hard workers out there? Yes. Are there a bunch more that think they work hard that are actually just completely freaking lazy? Yeah. They're the ones that want to DM and text and AI their way to success. Don't get me wrong. Those things are all important components. Heck, I even own an AI company. Right? Like, those things are important. I get it. But at the end of the day, that's where agents stop. They just want technology to do all the work for them. Mm-hmm. Write this down. Everybody that's following us right now, write this down. Automation equals augmentation. Mm-hmm. Automation equals augmentation. Stop trying to automate your way out of the business. If it were that easy, nobody'd need you, right? Why do you get paid so much? Because they want a trusted advisor, right? Mm-hmm. Automation is an augmentation to building these relationships. So let's talk about lead follow-up and the rule of three. So there's 6 different ways that you have to follow up with a lead. It's real simple. There's just 6 ways. Phone, text, email, video text, video email. Phone, text, email, video text, video email. And then my personal favorite is Facebook stalking, right? Mm. I always tell people stalking used to be a 3 to 5 year sentence. Now it's a 6-figure income. So, and that sounds terrible, but here's what I mean by stalking. Right? What am I going to do? I got to find them on Facebook. First of all, I'm going to send them a Facebook message. The reality is it's probably going to go to their filtered messages. So then what do? I'm going to go in their feed and I'm going to say, I'm going to find a conversation where they're responding to somebody. I'm going to hit reply so it tags them. And then I'm going to say, hey, Jim, I just wanted to let you know, I've been trying to get a hold of you. Here's my number. Give me a call. That's it. You'd be surprised how many people you get calling you back from that. Mm-hmm. All right. Now those 6 different things. And remember, it starts with the phone call. You've got to do on the following frequency. Okay. This is where it gets really important.
Okay.
It's called the Club Wealth Rule of Three. Everybody should write that down. Club Wealth Rule of Three. It's going to be 3 times a day for the first 3 days, 3 times a week for the next 3 weeks, 3 times a month for the next 3 months, 3 times a year for the next 3 years. I'll give it to you again. 3 times a day for the first 3 days, 3 times a week for the next 3 weeks, 3 times a month for the next 3 months, 3 times a year for the next 3 years. One last time, super easy. Write this down, everybody.
Yep.
3 times a day for the first 3 days, 3 times a week for the next 3 weeks, 3 times a month for the next 3 months, 3 times a year for the next 3 years. Now you're going to do one of those 6 things, or many, and sometimes, especially early on, you're going to do multiple of those 6 things on that schedule. Now, does that mean once I get a hold of them, you know, if I talk to them first call, the first call I make, do I make 2 more calls that day? No, of course not. No, we got to use common sense here. But what that means is until I get a hold of them, right? Once I get a hold of them, I'm going to gauge from there where they're at in the buying process. Are they aspirational, informational, or transactional in the buying process? Once I've identified that, that's going to help me identify how often and when with what, you know, what type of frequency I need to be following up with them. And then if they tell me they're a year out, well, I'm going to call them, like, at the bare minimum in 6 months, right? But I'm going to cut that time in half or less to make sure that I don't drop the ball with them.
I love it. I love it.
And then it's really simple. It's not, you know, and we have really complex. We've got a company within Club Wealth that we own. It's called the AIM team. It's the Automation Integration Migration team. They do a lot of artificial intelligence, all that kind of stuff. And the AIM team, as we look at the AIM team, they do they do all kinds of complex, you know, drip campaigns and AI and all this crazy technology for people to make sure that their CRM is working at the peak capacity, and that's we're squeezing every ounce of juice out of that database we possibly can. That being said, there's no substitute for picking up the phone and having a conversation. And if you don't have the money, if I'm in tier one or tier two, I'm probably not ready for all of that yet. Right now, I just need to keep it simple, and I just need to follow that easy schedule. But the key is, and Jim, this is where they really screw it up. What's the goal of lead follow-up?
To close.
It's lead conversion. That's right.
Yeah.
And our industry sucks at lead conversion. You know who's good at lead conversion?
Who?
Drug dealers. Isn't that terrible? I know that's horrible to say that, but the reality is drug dealers are fantastic at lead conversion. I'll tell you why. What do they know that real estate agents don't know?
I don't know what.
First one's free, then you got to pay. Right?
That's right.
I hope you guys are writing this down. Think about this. You know, the drug dealers understand you got to give them a little taste of the product, right? And what's your product? You're the product, right? You got to give them a little taste. Here's the problem. Most real estate agents, they want to get people pre-qualified or pre-approved for a home. Check this out. So when we were buying this house, look at this view. Yes, I got this beautiful view of the mountains, beautiful area, right? I can see the little town, Leavenworth, Washington, right down there. I love this spot, right? We worked forever. The windows are a little dirty, as you can imagine. As you can see, my painter's got some stuff on the windows, but we'll get that cleaned up. But here's where I'm going with this. We were looking for a house up here recently, and before we bought this one. And this house came on the market. It was $2.5 million, right? And the agent had it listed as undisclosed address. Okay, first of all, if Oprah Winfrey wouldn't live there, you have no business marking it as undisclosed address. Give me a freaking break, all right? And I'm telling you, in a $2.5 million house in Leavenworth, Washington, Oprah's not living here, okay? I'm just saying, she's not living here. Right. So long story short, it was bad marketing. The only thing that's worse than that is when you market things at like $399,950. Are you kidding?
Agreed.
Why don't you put a sign out in front of your office that says, I'm a moron, don't list with me, right? Because seriously, if I price it at $399,950 and somebody's looking from $350 to $400, they'll see the house. But if they're looking from $400 to $450, they're not going to see it.
Right.
Whereas if I price it right at $400,000, guess what? I get both groups.
Yeah.
I get to be the nicest house in the lower group and the most affordable house in the upper group.
100%.
Right?
Right.
Okay. So that being said, I called her up and I said, hey, can I just get the address? Because I wanted to make sure it was in the right part of town. As you can see, location's very important to me, right? And so what did she say? She says, well, I can't give you that address. I got to get you pre-qualified or pre-approved.
Yeah.
That's right. I said, oh, well, we can pay cash for the house. Oh, in that case, I need to see proof of
funds.
Are you freaking kidding me, lady? We just met for the first time ever. Never talked to you before. I'm just now finally talking to you on the phone. And you want to see my bank account? Are you kidding me? Like, let's get real here. That's not going to happen. And anybody with any real means is going to tell you to pound sand, and they're going to find somebody that's not going to have an issue with them just going to look at the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this gal, she says, well, you know, that's just the way it is. And I said, well, I'll just find somebody who'll give me the address, because I don't even know if it's in the area I want to be in yet. So I don't want to waste my time with all this.
Yeah.
And so she says, well, and it was just like that movie. You ever seen the movie Taken, Jim?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Remember the guy in the movie? He's like, good luck. That's basically what she told me. She's like, well, good luck, you know, because no agent's going to give you the address. I said, okay. So I hung up the phone. I immediately called Austin's managing broker. And I said, hey, Maggie, what, you know, here's the MLS number. Could you just give me the address? Because I just want to know, you know, is this in an area that I want to be in or not?
Sure.
So she gave me the address. She's like, yeah, it's 123 Main Street. So now I can do what?
Drive by it.
Yeah. Now I can call that agent back,
mm-hmm.
which is actually what I did. I called her back. I'm like, so is that 123 Main Street? How did you get that address? Right? She's all mad, all pissed off. I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? I said, look, what I told her is, I said, look, you know, I called an agent that understands what service is. And if I buy it, I'll end up buying it from her and not you.
Wow.
That's end of the lesson. Click.
Boom.
That's the most expensive lesson
she's had all year.
Well, we didn't end up buying the house anyway, because it was not where we, it was, in fact, that house was like, it was like 30 minutes up this way. Okay. And I'm like, screw that. I don't want to be there. I want to be right here where the action's at.
Right,
and
right,
I get
right.
You know, total privacy and great. Anyway, long story short, here's what it comes down to though. Agents are making people jump through all kinds of hoops. They're saying, oh, I'm not going to show a house unless you're pre-qualified. That's the sales prevention team. That's the dumbest attitude I've ever heard. What you should be saying is, I'm going to give you what you want, and then I'm going to get you to want to give me what I want, right? Mm-hmm. And the way that you do that is first you set up the appointment. The number one goal is just set the appointment. And by the way, if they call for the price, give them the price. They call for the address, give them the address. Whatever they want, just give it to them. Yeah. Imagine that. It's called service, all right? And so we do that. But now, after I've set the appointment, and this is critical, I'm going to give you a script, Jim. I'm not a huge scripts guy.
Yeah.
But I've got a few scripts. In fact, if you want, I'll give you a couple of really good scripts here that are very effective for us. We got time for that?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So let me start with this one. And this is like, I got to be careful because agents, giving this script to agents is like handing an Uzi to a five-year-old, right? Like if you don't use it right, you're going to screw it up. It's going to be bad news, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to ask all the agents that I give this script to, you're going to want to write this down word for word. Do not try and change the script and only use the script after you have set the appointment. You're not allowed to use it at any other time. You're only allowed to use it after you've set the appointment. All right, so here we go.
Okay.
Script is as follows. If they could save you $10,000 to $20,000 on your mortgage, if they could save you $10,000 to $20,000 on your mortgage, would you be interested in chatting with one of our lenders? If they could save you $10,000 to $20,000 on your mortgage, would you be interested in chatting with one of our lenders? Now, let me tell you what happens next. And you guys can rewind this as many times as you need to get that written down properly. But let me just tell you this. Every single time they say, well, sure. Only a moron doesn't want to save money, right? Now, if they're paying cash, they might not want to talk to your lender. That's fine.
Yeah.
And so go show it to them anyway. But if they're going to get a loan, they're going to want to talk to your lender at that point. And it's their request, not yours. And that's the important component here. Now, here's what you do next. When they say yes, what most agents are tempted to do is say, okay, well, let me give you my lender's number.
Mm-hmm.
That's the dumbest thing you can do because you know they're not going to call.
No.
And then the second thing that a lot of agents do is, oh, well, okay, I'll just give my lender your number and I'll have them call you. Well, you know, the only people that suck at following up worse than real estate agents is freaking lenders.
Right,
they're
right.
Horrible at it. Yeah. Right. Now, I'll say my daughter is the exception to that. And I'm sure there's other lenders out there that are great at follow up. Not very many, but there's a handful. But here's what I want you to do. Here's how you do it. So at that moment in time, as soon as they see us, I want you to three-way call your lender in. Now, the way it works with my daughter, so my daughter owns a mortgage company. My son owns his real estate team. And what my daughter does is when you call, she gives you a hotline number. And when you call that number, it broadcasts the call out to everybody on her team who's able to take a loan application.
Mm.
What this means is between the hours of 8 a.m. and 9 p.m., anytime between the hours of 8 a.m. and 9 p.m., 7 days a week, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get a live body on that phone that can have a real conversation with them and take a loan application.
Nice.
That's what you need. Yeah. That's customer service.
Yeah.
Makes sense?
You're on, and the agent's on the phone at the same time?
Absolutely. Yes. Because you want to introduce them. You want to tee that conversation up, right? Mm-hmm. And you're going to do a great job of endorsing your lender. And then guess what the lender's going to do? They're going to return the favor. They're going to do a great job endorsing you. And this is why I'll tell you, you should always have two lenders you work with. If you want one local and one national lender. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a national lender, reach out to me. I'll introduce you to my daughter. She's in every state except for New York and Massachusetts right now. And I'm telling you, man, like who you have as a lender matters. And it's not just about the cheapest rates, although that's very important.
Sure.
There's more to it than just that. It's you need somebody that can get everybody into a deal, right? Mm-hmm. You need somebody that's going to follow up tenaciously like a pit bull on the pant leg of opportunity, right? I mean, that's what you got to have.
Yeah,
and how great would it be if you had a lender that had AI in place that they could use in your business so that all your incoming leads, now you're getting to that 30-second speed to lead, which is, by the way, how fast you need to get to every lead. You got 30 seconds. And I know most agents that are listening to this aren't accomplishing that, but I'm telling you, you can do it with the help of AI. And so imagine, you know, like when you work with my daughter, she's got that.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, if yours doesn't, you need to find someone who does. You need to find someone who's going to give you all these components, be available during those hours, and who's going to get your freaking stuff closed. Because I'll tell you, one missed opportunity from a lender could absolutely, it could cost you $10,000 or more. Easily. Yeah.
Michael, you've dropped a lot of knowledge on us, man. And I could listen to you literally all day. And I've heard some of the best speakers in the country. I can tell you're amazing. If anybody gets a chance to see you live, they should go see Michael live for sure.
So, super cool. I appreciate that.
Totally. So if somebody wants to reach out to you, obviously Club Wealth is a spot to go. And
I'll tell you what you ought to do. Yeah. So go to clubwealth.com. coachingcoach.com/strategy session. Schedule a call with my team, and you could find out more about coaching with us. You can find out more about our group coaching. You can also go to clubwealth.com. If you want to find out more about Black Hat, go to clubwealth.com/Black Hat. But really the best thing to do is just, if you grab those leads, my team will call you, they'll schedule a strategy session for you. And just talk to my team about, you know, how we help people. And even if you don't end up signing up for coaching, it's fine. We're happy to do a strategy session for you once a year at no cost. And basically what the strategy session is, it's where we look at, what are you doing? Where do you want to go? You know, what are you willing to do to get there? What are you not willing to do to get there? And you know, kind of where are you at right now? And then we build you a roadmap for the next 12 months. We say, okay, follow this roadmap, right? Just do this. And so we'll do that for you once a year. And then again, you know, if you want to learn about coaching with us, that's the call to do it on. So, and you can get to that again by just going to clubwealth.com/strategy session.
Love it. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for all your time and energy and information today.
Appreciate it, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
If you liked this program, please subscribe and leave a review. And if you would like to explore our coaching platform, please check out www.erealestatecoach.com for 2 free weeks of coaching. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode of the eRealEstate Coach Podcast.